And we should have done this years ago. So forgive me, Eric. But you know I'm like that. I'm just kind of... Anyway. I want to say a few things before we have Eric and Susie come up and lay our hands on them and pray specifically over them, the prayer of ordination. I want to share a few words, a few scriptures, and then I'm not sure if he's still planning on doing it, but then Eric may have a few words to say afterwards as well. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul talks about some of the gifts that we are given by the Holy Spirit. He says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." So he tells us not only that the gift of pastor and teacher and the others are given, but he tells us why. Why they're given. Now, 500 years earlier, the Lord sent the priest and scribe named Ezra to teach and equip the people of Israel who had returned to the land after the Babylonian captivity. And God's word tells us this. It says, "Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of the Lord, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And he had pleased the Lord." And then we're told, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." On the day of Jesus' resurrection, it's interesting that we see in Luke's gospel that he actually gave two teachings that day, expounding himself from the Old Testament. The first one was to two followers of Christ who were on the road to Emmaus. And then later that evening, he gave a similar teaching to the disciples who were all huddled in the upper room back in Jerusalem. And we're told in Luke 24:27, says that what Jesus did, it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Years later, as the apostle Paul was in prison for his faith, he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, encouraging and exhorting him to fulfill his calling. This was his last letter before Paul was martyred. Speaking to Timothy, he said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." In other words, keep passing it on. He said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then referring to the Holy Scriptures in the same letter, Paul said that they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then in exhortation, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Now, in the tradition of Ezra, Paul, and the Lord himself, Eric Kulvinskis has also prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And he has become strong in teaching, in discipling, and in shepherding the flock of God. It's a gift from the Lord. It's an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And it is a clear calling and an anointing on Eric's life. Eric has been a part of Calvary Denver Downtown from our beginning back in 2004. First, he was a partner in prayer as several of us met for, a year and a half, once a week to pray for a couple of hours for what the Lord would do in establishing this fellowship. And then once we began meeting publicly in 2006, he was an active leader of this fellowship, as well as a teacher at this pulpit, and a creator of our website, which he knows there's no way I would ever be able to touch. And then as a member of our board, right up to today. Eric is and has been a dear brother to me. And over the years, our hearts have truly knit together. And even as he and his family have served in other fellowships, he's spoken at this pulpit, as I said, many times, and I treasure Eric, and I trust him to faithfully study, to faithfully teach, to faithfully live the Word of God, as well as to disciple other men to do the same. There are two scriptures that Eric has chosen to specifically represent what he has been called and gifted to do. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then the next verse is one that's become more prominent, I believe, in both of our lives in recent weeks as we have been going through a study together. Acts 20:28. Where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders on the shores of the sea, the last time he's to see them, and he is exhorting them. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We'll talk a little more about that a little later. I can attest, confirm, and testify that Eric has clearly been equipped and ordained by our Lord for pastoral ministry. And this has been witnessed by many who have observed his life, including myself. So this morning, in humble thanksgiving, we want to acknowledge and affirm and honor what the Lord has done and is doing in Eric's life and ministry. So I would ask you, Eric and Susie, I would like you to come up and just kind of stand right here facing that way. And anybody else who would like to, especially those of you who know them, but anybody else who would like to, come up and lay hands as we pray a prayer of ordination. for them. Heavenly Father, the most that we can do is to see your work in the life of a man, discern your will, and acknowledge that you have placed your anointing upon him. In this way, and only as we recognize that you have already ordained Eric for your ministry, do we dare lay our hands upon him as well, simply to acknowledge what you have already done. We know that Eric is ordained to serve you, to speak your word faithfully, to study and teach, to disciple, to encourage, exhort, protect, and when necessary, to rebuke and discipline in love and by the empowering of your Holy Spirit. It's with this understanding and in this spirit that we humbly follow you this day in ordaining our friend and brother, your servant, Eric Kulvinskas, into the ministry of pastor and teacher of the Christian gospel. We pray your direction, your guidance, and your protection upon him and Susie and their family. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And all of you except Eric can have a seat.
Can't call a teacher up behind a pulpit and not expect him to say something. So, one of the verses that Larry was talking about in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, how does this happen? How does a guy come up here and become ordained? I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what though it means for all of us as Christians, though, because I want to tell you a little bit where it started. It started by just responding to God and starting to go to some Bible studies, getting with small groups, getting with the community, being in men's groups, and listening to what the Lord had to grow and build my foundation as a Christian. And then being invited to other meetings and then doing some study on my own, and starting to feel something in me to say, you need to serve the community, you need to serve your church. And the funny thing was I started getting that quickening in my heart, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll go serve you. And then we're at a church in South Littleton, and the pastor would come up and say, we need help in the children's ministry, and pray for people to come forward to work in the children's ministry. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I pray for those people to go work in the children's ministry. At the same time, I'm like, yeah, Lord, but, you know, show me where I can serve. And then the next week would happen. Yeah, Lord, bring someone forward to teach these children, but, you know, show me where I can be useful in this ministry. And again, until finally, the Lord's like, hey, dummy, maybe that's you. And I heard specifically, we need teachers and we need helpers. So I'm like, I'm going to put my toe in the water. I'm going to be a helper. Put my toe in the water. So I told the ministry leader, I'm like, I'm going to help with the kindergarten, first grade class. And I'll be a helper, you know, specifically say I'm going to be a helper. She's like, great. Have you ever done this before? I'm like, no. She's like, okay. So I show up that first day. We have 25 first graders and kindergartners in a classroom. And I'm scared to death, as you can imagine. And she comes to me, the leader, and says, by the way, teacher can't make it. You are the teacher of these children. So I had to remind myself, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I taught that class, not knowing what I was doing, but knowing that I love these children, I love the Lord, and I wanted to tell them about Christ. And we had fun, and it was crazy, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I know was that every morning I would die a little bit inside before the class. But by the end, the kids were just happy, and we did. We killed Goliath. We created a life-size Goliath cartoon, and I had kids use little slingshots to try to, you know, hit him between the eyes, those types of things. And it wasn't until I took that step of faith to say, okay, God, I don't know what this means, that the men's ministry leader approached me and said, we need some help. I'm leaving. I need someone to help lead the men's ministry. And so I started that because I didn't know what I was doing, but okay. I taught my first time at a men's retreat, scared to death. And that's another story. God met me on that mountain. I had a vision, and it wasn't spaced out, but it was amazing. Stepping out in faith again, I was asked to find a church. And then we were asked to start a marriage ministry. And then I was asked to be an associate pastor. And then I was, and this was nothing out of my own flesh or my own doing. It was just stepping through what God has for us. And I would encourage you, as members of a church, listen to what God wants you to do. He wants you to be involved. Sunday is great and the fellowship's wonderful, but there is more for us to do as a community, as people part of a church. Not to say God is going to have this calling for you to be a pastor, but he does call all of us to be a part, which means to serve together, to love together, to have joy together. So when there are Bible studies, when there are needs in children's ministry or worship or media or whatever it is this little wonderful church has, step out in faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to do those things because you don't know what God's going to be using you for. And you may end up someday standing up in front of people being, you know, a pastor, or you might just be a leader, or you may just be someone who wants to lead his family more. But listen to the Lord, rejoice always, and pray without ceasing. For this is Christ Jesus' will for you. Thank you.
I was able to dodge the children's ministry bullet. But instead of that, the Lord hit me with mid-high.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure who got the tougher deal in that one. But